very familiar passage of Scripture. I'll tell this one last little story. This is a true story. My wife wouldn't appreciate me telling this, but she's down there and I'm up here, so I'm safe. Believe it or not, the pastor and his wife do have cross words sometimes. Now, I want to steer away from the word argument. We just have cross words. And so our son, Michael, who just recently had heart surgery, and by the way, thank you for praying for Michael. He's doing well, and he's coming along great, and we just praise God for his goodness. What a great God that we serve. Michael was a little tot, little old fella, probably 5 or 6 years old, and me and Sharon had had just some crosswords before they went over to the children's clubs that night, and so the teacher was taking prayer requests, and she said, "Who has prayer requests?" Michael, first hand to go up. "I do." He said, "Pray for my mom. She's sick and tired." And children, listen, brethren. I'm telling you. Children, listen. And so living with me will make someone sick and tired. Say amen right there. All right, Joshua 24, I'm going to just read a couple of verses of Scripture with you, verse 14 and 15. Again, very familiar portion of Scripture, and I just want to give you some simple truth that I hope will be a great help to you, okay? I know over the years it's been a tremendous help to me, and I pray it will be a help to you this morning. Joshua 24, I'm going to read aloud, and would you follow as I read aloud in verse 14 and 15. Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. The Word of God says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I pray that that's your declaration today. I do. I pray that that is a resolution and a commitment that you've made in your heart, and that you will continue to enforce that commitment in your home. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray for your help today. God, I need you. We need you. Our country's in a mess. Our society is spiraling out of control. Our world is in chaos. And yet we know that you are on the throne, in control, not overtaken by anything that's going on in this world, but in total control because you're sovereign. And I pray that you would help us, Lord. Even today, give us help that would help us in our personal lives, in our home life, in our marital lives, in our family life. God, help us now to represent you well. I pray that as the truth goes forth today, that it would go forth in power and in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and that your word would find lodging in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Well, I want to state before I get into the message this morning that I certainly don't pretend to have all the answers. I don't believe in perfect homes. I believe in a perfect God. I believe in God's perfect will, but we don't. There's no such thing as a perfect home, and so I don't stand here as the standard. God's word is the standard, but I do stand here as someone who has looked into the Scriptures, as someone who has pastored for 37 years. I've dealt with many families over the years. I have a family. I've tried to exercise biblical teaching in the family. I must say, in all of our efforts, in spite of all that we do, we must realize that we fall short of the glory of God. But I'm thankful that God never gives up on us, aren't you? I'm thankful that God is always with us. God never gives up on us. And so I want you just to look with me, if you would. I want to give you this three simple truths here, okay? As we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to give you a little bit of background. Joshua is getting ready to pass off the scene. And he's getting ready to die. The Bible says in chapter 23 of the book of Joshua, Joshua said, listen, I'm getting ready to depart this world. And he said, I want to drop some wisdom on you before I head out of here. I want to give you something that I think will be of a help to you. And so he calls them together. In his first speech back in chapter 23, I think that he's dealing with them more as a commander-in-chief, more as a general, if you will. And so he addresses them from more of a military point of view, a strategic point of view of, look, this is what you need to do, and this is what God would have you to do. But then he says, I want you to gather all of Israel in chapter 24, and he said, I want to rehearse some things with them. And he begins to rehearse some things with the families. And so I don't think he's speaking to them as a commander-in-chief here. I don't think he's speaking to them as a military leader. I think he's speaking to them as a husband, as a father, as a family member. And he says, listen, our families are vitally important. They are the fabric that will make up our nation. As the home goes, so goes the church. And as the church goes, so goes the nation. And he said, it's just so important. It starts at home. Listen, I believe in a worldview. I believe in a world vision. I believe in world evangelism. But I got to tell you, brethren, it all starts in your home. It starts in my home. And it's okay to look outside the home and realize that there's a need in the church, in the community, in our country, in our state, across the seas. I get it. But it begins in your living room. It begins in your kitchen, in your bedroom. Amen. It begins in your home. You see, I've got this feeling that we come to church and we think, well, you know what? We're going to take our children down to Fellowship Baptist Church and they're going to teach them how to worship down there. Now, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. No, no. The Bible teaches that you teach your children how to worship at home. Amen. You bring them to church so they can practice what you've taught them. Somebody say amen with me right here. Because that's where it's at. You see, we've mistaken some things and we've kind of bought into some things that our government has sold us, and that is, it's someone else's responsibility to train our children. No, sir. No, ma'am. That's mom's place. That's dad's place. That's what goes on in the home. Amen. Yeah, there ought to be some worship in your living room. There ought to be some Bible reading in your home. There ought to be some practicing the Word of God in your family. And then when you bring them here, well, that's just confirmation. That just enhances all that's been taught by mom and dad in the home. Say amen with me, folks. This is where it's at right here. See, we've gotten away from this, and we're saying, well, we'll send them down to the school and let the school train them, or we'll send them down to the church and let the church train them. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to that. They ought to come aside. Listen, we're all in this together, but it starts at home. It starts at home. And so here's what Joshua said. Look in verse number 14. He said, now, therefore. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But I want you to know that in the latter part of verse number 15, he says, but as for me and my house. See, he's not talking about the nation. He's talking about the home. And he said, now, therefore. What does that mean? Well, we know that when you see the word therefore in the Bible, you want to find out what it's there for. What is Joshua referring to? He said, and because of what I've just said to you, what has Joshua just said to these people? I want you to notice what Joshua does here. And I pray that God would help me to be a help to you today, that we could just somehow take a little stroll just for just a couple of moments in the message this morning down memory lane. Because that is exactly what Joshua does here. He is going to give them a host of reasons why they should serve the Lord, why they should stand up beside Joshua and say, Joshua, as for me and my house, you know what? We're going to serve the Lord too, amen. We're going to serve God with our life. We're not going to turn our back on God. We're not going to say no to God. We're not going to say no to His Word and to His way. We're going to serve Him too. And so why? Why? Well, look at what the Scripture says. Now, therefore, I want you to go back in chapter number 24, verse 1. He says, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called the elders, and they presented themselves in verse number 1. Look at verse number 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, I don't want to get bogged down here. I just want to point out a few things to you. I hope you'll read this in its entirety in your own time. Now, don't read it while I'm preaching. But I hope when you get home, you'll read this. I'm just going to highlight a few things here because I've got some points I want to get to. He said this. He said, your fathers, in verse number 2, he said, they dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. He said, listen, I want you to know something. You haven't always, and I'm just going to bring this up to date. You haven't always sat on a church pew, shouted glory to God, and sang the hymns of the faith. The Holy Ghost sought you out. Somebody came to you. Somebody told you about this faith. Somebody told you about Christ. Somebody told you what God had done for you. And when you trusted Him, it made a difference in your life. And he says, so don't you forget now, you haven't always had a father like Abraham. Abraham was found worshiping pagan gods. That's right, in a pagan country when God found him. And he said, don't you forget that. And brethren, I need to remember that. You need to remember that, where we were when God found us. Now, let me say something else. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. He said, he took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. He said, don't forget what God's done for your fathers now. Now, some of you children need to get on your knees before God today and say, God, thank you for a Christian father.
Amen.
God, thank you for a Christian grandfather. Thank you for a Christian mom. Thank you for someone who led the way for us. We never woke up on a Sunday morning and said, what are we going to do today? God, thank you for giving me a Christian family. Amen. And he said, he took your father from the other side of the flood and he led him all through the land of Canaan. Look at verse number 5. He said, he also gave him, he said, I gave. He's telling him what God did. He said, number one, God is saying, I took your father. God did that, brethren. So I think Abraham just became a good man on his own. No, God did that, you see. God went and found Abraham. God sought out Abraham. God sought you out too. Look at verse number 4. He said, I gave unto Isaac, Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Zaire. God's given you everything you have. So I don't have much. Well, thank God for it. He gave it to you.
Amen.
Amen. And he's reminding these folks. He said, listen, all that you can rejoice in your posterity and your heritage, he said, God did that for you. All that you have, all that you possess, he said, God gave you that, brethren. God gave you that, you see. And if we're not careful, we'll think, well, you know what? I did this. Well, listen, I understand that there's a responsibility for man. I understand that. Say, well, I planted those seeds. Where'd you get those seeds? Where'd you get the energy to plant that seed? Who gave you that land to plant that seed in? Where'd that soil come from? See, if we're not careful, we'll think we did it. And here Joshua's saying, don't you forget God's role in this. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. He said, I sent Moses unto Aaron, and I plagued Egypt. God said, listen, I'll provide for you. I'll protect you. You see what Joshua's doing here? Joshua's saying, I want to give you some reasons why it is just a good thing to serve the Lord. It's just good to honor God in your family, in your home. Look at all God's done for you. Say, preacher, I don't see a whole lot God's done for me. Look closer. Look closer. I told our folks Wednesday night, when you really begin to doubt if God's doing anything for you, do this. Yeah, that came from God. Amen. And so he said here, God sent Moses and they plagued Egypt. He said, I did that. God is saying, I did that. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt and you came into the sea. Remember when you were in that impasse and you thought there's no way out of this? Just as sure as I'm in this situation, this is going to be my upturning. This is when I'm going down. But God showed up on the scene and delivered you. Maybe God healed your body. Maybe God saved your marriage. Maybe God turned your prodigal son. Maybe God done a miracle in your life and you said, I didn't know how God was going to do it. But brethren, God did it. God did it. And here you sit today in the house of God with the saints of God, hearing the word of God, singing the songs of God. Why? Because God does these things for his people.
Amen.
He said, God did this. Look, we could go right on down. Look at verse number 7. He begins to name some of the things that he did about the plagues and how that he brought darkness into the Egyptians and how that he divided the Red Sea. And he said, your eyes have seen, right in the middle of verse number 7, your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. God said, I just want you to take a stroll for a moment and remember where you were when I found you, what you have, the times of crisis you've been in, when you thought there was no way out, and God was gracious, and God was good, and God helped you. He said, I want to give you the purpose that I can stand before you and say, now, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How about you? What kind of decision have you made? Let's look at that just for a moment. Can we? Okay. Let's look. Listen, there, I want you to read this sometime in your own reading in Joshua 24. It's just a wonderful thing to look at that and look back. And then he says in verse number 14, now, therefore, because of this, okay, because of what God has done, he said, now, therefore, fear the Lord. This is what's missing today. He said, I want you to worship God. See, that word fear, it doesn't mean to roll up in a corner somewhere and say, oh, I'm afraid God. No, it's reverence. It's respect. It's honor. It's the wow factor. Amen, it is. It's just like looking at God and saying, wow, look at this God that has manifested himself to me, and look what God has done and is doing in my life. And not only all that he's done in my life, I get to serve him. I get to do some things for him. So he says here in verse number 14, he said, now, the first step that will lead you to a place where you will have the mindset, as for me and my house, you're going to have to fear God. Can I ask you a question? Do you fear the Lord? Do you reverence God? Do you reverence the Lord? Do you read his word? When you read what he says to do, do you do it? Or does it just kind of go over your head, or you just set it aside? He said in verse number 14, he said, now therefore, fear the Lord. Reverence him. That's the first step. Say, preacher, I want my children. Now listen to me now. This is Children's Sunday. I want my children to grow up and serve Jesus. Well, then you reverence the Lord. Amen. Don't tell them to. You do it. You do it. May I do it? See, they're looking to us. That's right. Children will mimic you. That's right. When you say, I'm sick and tired, guess what they'll go request prayer for? You being sick and tired. That's right. When they see you watching stuff you shouldn't watch, listening to things you shouldn't listen to, saying things you shouldn't say, guess what they're going to do? When they see you placing a priority on things you really shouldn't be placing a priority on, guess what they're going to do? Your children, our children are watching us, brethren. They know what's important to us. We don't need a governor to tell us, listen, we don't need a governor. We don't need a senator. We don't need a president. We don't need someone to tell us what's relevant, what's essential. We have the Holy Ghost of God to tell us that. That's right. And our children are watching. See, there's two things in your life that will tell you really where your priorities are, and I want you to write this down. There's two things in your life that will tell you. Your checkbook and your calendar. You check those two things and that will tell you a lot about where your priorities lie. They really will. And your children know. All right? So he said, there, therefore, in verse number 14, he said, I want you to fear the Lord. We're talking about worship here. This is the first step in having a good, godly home. You've got to teach your children to worship, folks. Now, I want you to notice something that Joshua did not say, and somebody's going to take this negatively, and so I want to preface it by saying this. I love church. You listening to the preacher? Any of you that know me know I love this place. I love the house of God. I love coming to church. But he did not say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the church. He did not say, as for me and my house, we're going to attend the church. That is not what Joshua said. I am for serving in the church. I am for coming to the church. I'm for it. But that is not what Joshua said. When you have the mindset, did you know you could put church at the top and still not serve God? There's a lot of people in church that do not serve God. But when you put the Lord at the top, you will serve God in the church. It's his church. This is not my church. Amen. I don't care too much for that church. Well, now, the church is the body of Christ. I believe if you get rightly connected to the head, you'll get rightly connected to the body. Everybody say amen with me. That's right. That's right. Listen, the head's perfect. The body's not so perfect. Amen. It's not. That's right. You say, why? Because you're in it, preacher? Well, partly, but the other part's because you're in it. That's right. So I just want you to understand some things. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, not go to church. So don't take that as, well, we need to get in church. Well, if you're not in church, you ought to. You ought to get in church. If you are in church, you ought to serve the Lord. But it all starts with worship. Worship. Teach your children to respect God, to respect the things of God, to respect the Word of God, to respect the way of God, to respect the house of God, to respect the people of God. Amen. Teach them that. Teach them to worship. Teach them to get at His feet and worship Him. If you'll do that, the good things are going to come out of your children. Can't say they'll be perfect. Can't say that they might not fall upon some hard times, but I will tell you this, there'll be more good times than not if you teach your children to fear the Lord. He says, so I want you to teach them about this worship. Parents, it's our place to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's our place. The Bible says, well, to train up a child in the way she goes. Is that right? So parents, it's our place. Now, I'll get to this in just a moment, but just in case I don't get into it in depth, I want to say this. I realize who I'm speaking to. I realize the times that we live in. There could be somebody sitting on the sound of my voice or joining us by live stream would say, you know what? I don't have a man in my life, preacher. I don't have a husband or a father that could stand and say it's for me in my house. What am I going to do? Well, you're going to trust God, and by God's grace, you're going to take that place and say, you know what? Though I don't have a Joshua in my life, I'm going to stand in his stead and say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. See, God will use you. Don't you think God won't use you now because you don't have a Joshua in your life? Now, it's good when you have a Joshua in your life. Somebody say amen with me. It's God's way. However, I'm glad that that's not the only way. You can serve God without a man in your home. Amen. And I realize there's some single moms in the congregation today. I understand that. I know where I'm at. I know what's going on in our world today, too. And I'm thankful that God loves you and God will help you and God will strengthen you, and you can do this with God's help. That's right. Now, you just do right, and God will honor it. You do right, and God will honor it. And so he said, number one, he said, if you want to have a godly home, fear the Lord. You fear, and then you teach your children to fear the Lord. It's missing in our churches. It's missing in our society. It's just missing today, this thing of fear and reverence. And so God help you, and God help me to fear the Lord. All right? I'm going to do this. I normally don't do this, but I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to just give you two scriptures I think will be a help to you. Just in the event that there's someone here today that would say, now, preacher, I just don't know the benefit that's going to come from me teaching my children to reverence God, to fear the Lord. What real benefit is there in that for me? Well, let's see what God's Word says. See, God's Word's always right. I won't say that again so everybody can say amen. God's Word is always right. Amen. Never wrong. Never wrong. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Now, why is it important that we are to fear the Lord, that we are to reverence God, that we are to worship God, that we are to respect God? Why is that important? And that we teach our children to do so. I'll give you two scriptures and then we'll turn back for a couple of other thoughts and we'll close in Proverbs. In Joshua chapter number 24. Proverbs 9, look at verse number 10. The fear of the Lord, there it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Did you get that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're going to need some wisdom if you're going to navigate through this old low land of sorrow. Amen. And your children's going to need some wisdom if they're going to be able to navigate, if they're going to be able to yield to the Holy Ghost and let God guide them in the way of life. Your children's going to need some wisdom from the Lord. And so he said, the fear of the Lord is where it began. Look at what else he said. He said, and the knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God is what brings understanding to life. Listen to me, brethren. Listen to me. Life doesn't make sense until you know who God is. And when you know God, life begins to come into focus. Life begins to make sense. Life begins to take on purpose when you know God. And so that's why Joshua said, listen, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, you teach your children to fear, to reverence, to worship God. It'll benefit them more than anything else you can do for them. I want you to turn to one more proverb, Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. I'm talking to you about respecting God. See, a lot of folks say they do with their mouth. Now, listen, I'm not being cruel here. I'm just going to be straight. I'm a straight shooter, okay? I'm not a mean person, but I'm a straight person. Some people get those confused. All right? You can speak the truth. Just do it in love. Truth is brutal. Truth is brutal. So that's why we need to take the edge off and speak it in love. But don't water it down. Amen. We don't need truth watered down. Sometimes it's not our action and what we say, it's the attitude in which we say it. I want to do this, I want to speak the truth in love. I want you to notice what is being said here. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Verse number 26 of Proverbs 14. The reverence of the Lord. Some folks say, I fear God. Well, your life says you don't. Your decision making says you don't. And so I want you to understand, it's not enough just to say we fear the Lord. Our children don't just listen to what we say, they watch what we do. Amen. And so that's why it's important not just to say, but to show that we back what we say. And so he says here, look at it again, Proverbs 14:26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. There's an S, I'm going to give you two S words I want you to write down to be a great help to you. Number one, strength. That's what this verse of Scripture is saying. The fear of the Lord is a deep strength. When you reverence God, you have a deep resolve in your soul. You ever seen people that no matter what life throws at them, no matter what the enemy, the devil, and there is a devil. There is a devil. Oh, now, preacher, this is 2022. That's right. He's been around since then and then some. Going to continue to be around until he gets thrown into the bottomless pit. Oh, you don't believe in the devil, do you? Well, I told you, I believe every word in this book. That's right. Amen. There's the devil. And he's going to try to weaken us. He's going to try to defeat us. He's going to try to devour us. He's going to try to discourage us. And if he could, he'd try to destroy us. And what this book is teaching right here, look at it. The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. It's deep strength. You ever met someone that when they're going through hard times, it's like their feet is just planted. I mean just planted. You know what that is? It's a reverence for God. It's a respect for the Holy One of Israel. It's an understanding of life that comes from a fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, look at it one more time. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. It's a deep strength. But that's not all of this. Look at what else he said. And his children shall have a place of refuge. It's not only a deep strength, it's a profound security. I'm so glad that we have a refuge in Christ. Amen. So when we go back to Joshua now, we see worship. Worship is important. Number two, I want you to think about this word. Not only does when we say it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, does that involve worship? Because all service is preceded by worship. You understand that, right? You understand that. So I'm not going to worship anybody. Well, that's, and again, I want to say this in love, that shows ignorance. Man is incurably religious. He is. You are worshiping. You're serving something or someone. I want you to listen to me. I want you to notice carefully what Joshua says. Some people read this and they just don't get it because they read what they're thinking it's going to say instead of what it does say. Some people read verse number 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day if you will serve. It doesn't say that. You're going to serve. But you do get to choose who. Amen. So I want you to listen to me. You're going to serve. So the question here is not, choose you this day if you're going to serve the Lord. That's not the question. The question is, choose you whom you're going to serve. You going to serve false God or the true God? Amen. That's what it's saying. That's it. You believe the Bible? Amen. I believe every word of it. Amen. The reason Joshua could say that is because he knows what I just said to you. Man is incurably religious. We are going to worship something, someone. Some people worship themselves. God said in the last days, man will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God.
Right.
He did. Some people worship themselves. Some people, listen, some people worship success. Some people worship lust. Some people worship sports. Some people, listen, we could go on and on and on here. You get to choose what or whom you're going to serve. But you're going to serve. We've been made that way. The question is not if you're going to serve, it's who you're going to serve. And so that brings us to our second thought. And I want you to look at just a couple of things here and as we move through this passage here. So who are you going to serve? Who are you serving? You serving God? I pray that you are. There's great reward in serving God, but there's a great reason for serving God too. That's why he said in verse number 14, now therefore. You ought to be serving God. God's done a lot for us, brethren. I'll be the first to stand up here and say, all that I am, all that I have, all that I ever hope to be is by the grace of God.
Amen.
I just cannot, I do not have the vocabulary. I don't possess the words to tell you how good God has been to me. God is a great God.
Amen.
He is worthy of all of my praise. He's worthy of all of my service. He's just worthy. See, the word worship, I'm having a problem getting away from that. God won't let me move on. It comes from the word worship. You ascribe worth to that you worship.
Amen.
If you view God as the God that he is, you, listen, you just fall down before him and say, God, I love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and being. You are the reason that I am what I am by your grace. And all that I would hope to be is because of you. Are you at that place in your life? I pray that you are. And then, work. The word serve is mentioned 15 times here. You say, I'm going to count them while you finish the message. Please don't. I counted 3 times. Well, I do think it's 15, but now if you go home today and find out it's less or more, you come back tonight and tell me about it and stay for the service. So he said here, he said, in verse number 15, if it seem evil for you, in other words, if you don't want to serve the Lord, you get to choose who you're going to serve, but now you choose who you will serve. Is it going to be the God of your fathers that they served when they were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? You're just going to do what everyone else is doing around you? That's what he's saying, brethren. You're just going to do what everyone around you is doing? You're going to conform to that and just go along with the flow and do what everybody around you is doing? Or are you going to take a stand and say, now, my God is worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy for me to serve. My life belongs to him. I've been bought with the price. I'm going to serve God with my life. Is that where you are? I hope that it is. Now, let me finish with this, okay? Let me finish with this. So, there's worship, there's work, and then finally there's the walk. And this is where the rubber meets the road. I want to worship God. I'm glad. I am. I'm glad. I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm glad. But the only way you're going to do either one of those is by your walk. And I want you to notice 2 times in this passage something that Joshua says. Look, if you would, in verse number 14 again. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Watch this. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Got to do some putting away. There's just some things going on in your life that's got to go. You know, there comes a time like that in all of our lives. The preacher's life, the parishioner's life. Every Christian has got to come to the place to when the Spirit of God speaks to your heart about something, you've got to say, that's got to go. Not because the preacher said, not because mama said, not because the neighbor said, not because the Sunday school teacher said, but the Holy Spirit of God said, that's got to go. Amen.
Amen.
Said it again, just in case they didn't get it. He said at one time before he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And then he said at one time after, look down if you would in verse number 23. Now therefore, put away, saith he, the strange gods. I'm going to put some things away. Can I ask you this as we bring the message to a close this morning? I want you to close your Bible right up here at the preacher as we bring this to a close. Well, to worship God. And I think everyone in here that is saved, even there may even be some people in here that's not saved, that just knows, you know what? God is God and he is worthy of our worship, whether we give it to him or not. Okay? So I don't think that there would be a lot of debate about that. We just know God is God. There's a God in heaven. There's a creator. There's a supreme being. And we need to acknowledge him and recognize him. We need to worship him. Number two, if he is God, as he says he is, we need to go to work for him. I don't think anybody would argue that. See, God's given you an ability. God's given you a gift. If you're saved, you have a gift. It's called a spiritual gift. And your strength is probably that gift. I have people ask me all the time, what does God want me to do? I don't know. You tell me what you're good at, and I could probably help you out there. Because the strength that you have, the things that you enjoy doing, oftentimes line right up with the gift that God has given you. And so don't fight it. Don't have a false humility and say, well, you know, I'm not good at anything. Well, now, wait a minute. That's an indictment on God. You are good at some things because God made you good at some things. Somebody say amen with me now. And so we're not going to argue worship. We're not going to argue work. But now here's what we will argue, our walk. You've got to put away some things. What are you going to put away? I can't say what it is for you. You know there's some things between you and God right now. Maybe somebody's crossed you and you have a foul spirit toward them and you're not willing to make it right. You're robbing yourself of a blessing from God. You're cutting off some of the resources that God has for you. Don't do that to yourself. Put that away. Put that foul spirit and that unforgiven spirit, put it away. Maybe there's some impure things that you've seen and that you think on and you know that this is not good for my spiritual well-being and I need to put those things away. Can I encourage you? Put those things away. Those are the devil's cheap substitutes to keep you away from God's best for your life. Put them away. Put them away. Say, preacher, I've tried and I can't do it. I'm here to tell you that by the help of Jesus, you can do it.
Amen.
You can do it. God would never tell you to put it away if he wouldn't give you the strength to do it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Abstain from every appearance of evil. We are to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Got to put some things away. As we stand to our feet, could you stand up this day as Joshua did that day? One by one. Listen to me now. One by one, could we march up here and walk behind here and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Go find your seat, the next one. Could you come right up here and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then perhaps someone would come and say, you know, I've been abandoned. I don't have a family. I'm all on my lonesome. Come up here and say, as for me, without a house, I've decided to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord if I have to do it alone. Because he's worth it.
Amen.
Amen? Who am I talking to today? Who maybe is in that place in their life? Maybe the family circle's been broken. But you can still stand and say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. The pianist is going to play. As the pianist begins to play, if God spoke to your heart this morning, I'm going to ask you just to slip out and come forward.